Mr. George Jessel, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarcos, Al Goodman, his orchestra, and Kenny Delmar.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we salute the poultry show. We haven't any chickens, but we do have a man with an old joke, and he's going to pull it. And here he is. Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, that poultry show introduction, a man with an old joke and he's going to pull it. You know, I thought that was extremely clever in a rather a rancid sort of a way.
Mama and I were up all night writing poultry introductions.
Poultry introductions, really?
We had another one. Here is a man. After he tells his first joke, he's a dead duck.
You were up all night writing these two feathered faux pas?
Yes.
You know what faux pas means?
It's southern for forefathers.
Southern for forefathers?
Faux pas.
Faux pas. Some dialect you have and no finish. But forget the whole thing. Forget the whole thing. That poultry gag sounds like a joke you'd find on the floor of the studio after a Milton Berle rehearsal. And if he wouldn't pick it up to tell it, Milton will stoop to anything that I wouldn't tell me. Did you see the poultry show at Madison Square Garden?
It was wonderful. They had hens there so small, they can't lay eggs.
Really? What do they lay?
Aspirin tablets with yolks in them.
You've had a new writer working on your part, haven't you? I sense it. Fine. Well, you know, it's confusing over there at Madison Square Garden. One night they have fights, the next night hockey, then basketball and the poultry show. There was a mix-up last week. One night, right in the middle of the poultry show, the CCNY basketball team ran out and made three baskets in a hen's nest. Without disturbing the hen, too, it's rather remarkable. They were in there on the wrong night, you see. Well, before this gets too hilarious, Portland. What? I must give my writers the loyalty test again. What's in the news? What's in the news this week?
Well, science is seeking the clue to baldness.
Baldness? Well, that would be Jack Benny's problem, not mine.
Is Jack getting bald?
Getting bald? Benny's head looks as though his neck is blowing bubble gum.
Gosh!
What did you say?
Gosh!
Are you happy with that line? Benny is so bald, he looks as though somebody pulled his face back over the top of his head. And speaking of head reminds me, Portland, I think I shall head for Allen's out.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently down in Washington, the director of science service listed the 10 most important advances in science made during 1947. And so our question this evening is, what in your estimation is the most important advance science has made during recent years?
Shall we go?
Well, I couldn't think of a joke this week. We'll just have to go, I guess. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess the Senate is in, all right. His pet possum, Stanley, just looked out the parlor window there. Well, let's knock.
Who's whamming my portal? Oh, it's you, son.
Yes, Senator Clyde.
I just got back from Florida, son. Yeah. I must have stayed out in that sun too long.
You got sunburn?
Son, I got a blister running down my back. It's longer than a pontoon.
It's really?
Yeah, long... I kept peeling, son. I had enough skin to make a little boy.
You... How are things in Florida, Senator?
Now, my hotel was so crowded they had to give me a Florida suite.
What is a Florida suite?
That's a closet with two grapefruit in it.
But
I was out fishing every day. One fish I caught, tears come to my eyes.
Tears?
That fish reminded me how I got elected.
A fish?
It was a fluke, son.
Fish not too well known in these parts. But what were you doing in Florida? What were you doing in Florida, Senator?
Well, I was down there resting with little old Harry.
Did the president enjoy his stay down there in Florida?
Yeah, Harry was busy every minute, relaxing.
Relaxing.
One day, Harry went over to Key West and played the piano.
At Key West?
It was the first time anybody knowed what key he was playing in.
Tell me, Senator, what do you think is the most important advance science has made during recent years?
Well, science's outstanding achievement was making that big magnet up there at Columbia University. Well,
why is the magnet so important, Senator?
Owning a magnet that size, son.
Yes?
This country can point it at Russia.
And with the biggest magnet in the world?
We can raise that iron curtain. So long, son.
So long, Eddie.
Say, the senator better be careful with that magnet. He might pull Spike Jones off the air. Oh, well, let's call on Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, what do you think is the most important advance science has made in recent years?
Science better stop advancing, for it ruins the human race.
Well, how do you mean?
Why, people was better off when they had less gadgets and done more sweating.
Well, have you had any experience with scientific advancement on your farm?
I'm about ready to blow my fritter.
You're about to blow your fritter, eh? Well, what happened?
Why, a fellow come around and sold me a self-operating shortwave plow.
Uh-huh.
First time I tried the plow, first time, something went wrong.
Yeah?
All I heard was zip. Plow started off. I ain't seen it since.
You don't know what became of the plow?
No. All I know is that from here clear to Syracuse, there's a rut that belongs to me.
Well, you can't hold that against science.
Did I ever tell you about that rain-making episode?
No, I don't think so. What was that?
Last fall, we had a drought.
Uh-huh.
Ground was so dry that worms was crying on themselves to get wet enough to turn over.
Things were dry, hey?
I'm in the front yard, spitting in all directions to lay the dust.
Yeah?
Fella comes up and he says he's a rainmaker.
Oh, you hired the rainmaker?
He went up in a balloon, dropped 200 pounds of dry ice into a cloud.
Yeah?
Well, the dry ice fell plumb through the cloud, landed on top of my barn and left a hole as big as a crater.
And no rain fell?
Yeah, just as the fella come down in the balloon, it started to hail a mite.
Hail, hey?
I was fuming.
What did you do?
I pointed to that skimpy downfall.
Yes?
And I says, get the hail out of here. So long.
Well, no wonder the signs don't hit at all. Well, let's try this next door.
Hey, Chappie.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you look busy.
Tonight I couldn't talk to you too long.
No?
I'm working on my Toffanetti contest.
Toffanetti contest? What is that?
If you are entering the contest, they are sending you the clues.
Oh, really? What are the clues?
Second for corned beef, first for plan, 13th for chicken fat, 7 for pan.
Yes.
Bring me a poached egg, chopped onions, and heat. Fry me and try me. I'm ready to eat.
Those are the clues, eh? You are in the contest?
If you are guessing the clues, it is me.
Second for corned beef, bring me a poached egg. I give up. Who are you?
Miss Hesh.
Very good. Yeah, I will send you the locomotive in the morning. But tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, what important strides do you think science has made?
To me, outstanding is electricity.
Electricity?
Today in mine house, everything I'm doing by electricity.
Uh-huh.
Making coffee, I'm plugging in the percolator.
Naturally.
Cooking dinner, I'm snapping on the stove.
Yes.
Washing, I'm turning on the bender.
Uh-huh.
Sweeping, I'm attaching the vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
All day long, I'm plugging in, snapping, turning on electricity.
Well, handling all this electricity, don't you ever get a shock?
Only once a month.
Once a month you get a shock?
When I'm getting the electric bill, thank you.
Well, here we are at the end of the alley. Let's pay our respects to Mr. Cassidy.
Here
Because of that scientific invention, television, I had, shall we say, a cataclysmic encounter.
On account of television, what happened?
Well, the night of the Joe Louis fight, I was standing in Kerrigan's, conserving grain as the president ordered.
Conserving grain?
I stopped eating wheat eater. I was taking me grain in liquid form. So the fight started on the television.
Yeah.
Well, halfway through the first round,
yeah,
the man next to me, Hambone Hennessy, he says, look, the television's broken.
Yeah.
How is it broken, says I. Joe Louis is on the floor, says he. Huh? Joe Louis is champion of the world, says he. Sure, if the television set was working properly, his opponent would be on the floor.
Why, gee.
The television set is in good order, says I. Says Joe Louis that's not working properly.
Uh-huh.
Well, with that, Hambone Hennessy hit me on top of the head.
Yeah.
It drove me head so far down me spine, I had to open me vest to look out at him. And I started running me arm in and out of Hambone's mouth till he thought he was swallowing a plunger.
Hey, this was some fracas.
Oh, the fighting got you good. Joe Louis and Jersey Joe stopped their fight on the television and started watching Hambone and me.
It must have been exciting.
Well, now, just as I was taking off Hambone's nose to put in me pocket to keep his ears company, you know,
yes,
the door's busted open. It's the constabulary.
The constabulary.
Well, Hambone and me was hustled into a limousine with a gong on the front of it.
Well, hey, Jack, you can't blame television.
Yeah. For doing what Joe Louis got $70,000 for doing on the television.
You?
I got 30 days. Good night, you.
Is ably accompanied by the versatile Al Goodman and his orchestra. The DeMarco sing, Papa, Won't You Dance With Me, Girl?
Papa, won't you dance with me? Oh, dance with me. Please dance with me. Papa, take a chance with me and dance with me tonight. And when you whirl me round and round, we'll go right off the ground. We'll go around and round, we'll go. And when we listen to the trombone sliding, I will both be gliding high up to the sky.
I love the polka.
Papa, won't you dance with me? Oh, dance with me. Please dance with me. When you hold me tight. Oh, Papa, won't you dance with me? Won't you dance with me tonight? Pop, 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 pop. Hey, Pop. Come on and dance
with me.
With me.
With me.
Papa, won't you dance with me? When you hold me tight, oh, Papa.
Papa, please, pretty please.
Dance, Papa, dance with me.
Digest version of Anne Mimi, played by Maestro Al Goodman, and 25 men who think Castellanos is the fullback for Notre Dame. And now, ladies, yes, Portland.
This telegram just came. It's open.
The telegram's open?
The messenger boy said he had chapped lips.
You want to go down to the censor and clear your throat while we...
The messenger boy said he had chapped lips, and he couldn't lick the envelope.
Oh, that Western Union. You'd think if one messenger boy had chapped lips, they'd send another boy along who could drool. What does the telegram say? Business while it's open. This will confirm... This would have been a good place for you to cough in here. The telegram says this will confirm your New Year's Eve reservations at the Carnival. Signed, the management.
The Carnival?
Oh, the Carnival, that big nightclub on 8th Avenue. You know, I am president of the Jack Eigen Fan Club. We're having our New Year's party there.
I thought your Jack Eigen Fan Club always spent New Year's Eve at Hamburger Heaven.
No. Last year, when Frank Gould was president, we went over to a little club on 52nd Street, the Open Manhole.
The open manhole?
They have no cover there. It's just a small place. The ceiling is so low, when they serve frog's legs, the legs are kneeling down.
How did you happen to get reservations at the Carnival?
Well, it's a long story, Portland. Last Thursday afternoon, I was walking down 8th Avenue. I was just passing 51st Street when I heard a voice say...
Well, Fred Allen.
Georgie Gesso. Georgie, what are you doing here in New York City?
What am I doing? What am I? You must be living in a tree. You know what I'm doing here. Look at that sign up there on the marquee.
The marquee, the Carnival, proudly presents Georgie Jessel in the greatest show on earth.
Well, confidentially, Fred, it isn't the greatest show on earth.
But that sign...
Well, my cousin Milford is a sign painter, you know. I told him the show was so-so. Suddenly a sign comes out, the greatest show on earth. What am I going to do? Get a lawyer? Milford is also a lawyer. I'd have to give him the case. You see what I mean?
Well, tell me... Tell me, Georgie, confidentially, how are you doing in the show?
Oh, Fred, I'm a big hit. A very big hit.
A big hit,
yeah. You're getting ready to call me a liar, huh? I should see it. Well, it so happens that I have the newspaper clippings right here with me, right in my pocket.
Say, they're a little dirty looking, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I've been carrying them around 2 weeks, you know. I'll have them dry cleaned a little later. But listen, listen to what the newspapers say. Here's the Hoboken Herald. Jessel is a cyclone of lead.
Huh?
Here's the Jeweler's Gazette. Jessel is a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Look here. The Sandhog Journal, what it says. Look here. Jessel is dynamite. Here's the New York Times. There, who reads the Times?
Georgie, I just saw your latest picture, Nightmare Alley. I thought you were still out in Hollywood producing for 20th Century Fox.
I am. I am still working for Mr. Zanuck, Fred, and I have to be back there on January the 5th.
Well, can't Mr. Zanuck do without you?
There is a rumor that he can, but I don't want him to find out.
Well, Georgie, I just happen to think my club is giving a party New Year's Eve.
Well, 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 Fred, give your party at the Carnival. A great show. You'll have the time of your life and only $2 a plate.
$2 a plate?
Well, if you want food on the plate, it's a little more, you know.
Well...
Take my advice, though, Fred. You have the $20 avocado dinner. With that comes the best of everything. Gold finger bowls and mahogany toothpicks. It's delicious, really.
Well, what do I get for $20?
Well, now, first, before dinner, you get your own personal horn to blow at midnight. I have a sample horn here to show you.
Oh, that's a beauty, isn't it?
I should say it is. The mouthpiece is genuine plastic, you know.
Uh-huh.
It comes only with the $20 dinner. Now, get the tone on this horn.
Well, it does. It does have a certain gusto, Georgie. But for $20,
look,
if I'm blowing
please,
20...
please, unless you're insured, don't take the $2 dinner at the Carnival.
You mean there's no horn?
Nah. For $2, you get this.
No, Georgie. No, Georgie, that sounds like an unborn opinion.
And we should know. Well, anyway, look, with the $20 dinner, you should see the paper hat that you get. It's
yeah.
A red cellophane Hamburg with a lining and the initials F.A. in it, your initials.
Well, with the $2 dinner, what sort of a paper hat do you get?
An old copy of the Hobo News, nothing at all. Hold it up, it looks like a wet beret. You wouldn't want.
Well, look, Georgie.
Fred, the confetti that you get with the $20 dinner...
What kind of confetti?
Chopped up $5 bills.
With the $2 dinner, you get confetti?
What confetti? The waiter comes, pulls the paper napkin from under your chin, tears it up, throws it right in your face.
Well, Georgie, $20 after all for
dinner. Ah, but listen to the food that you get. Avocado and aspic. Anchovies and aspic. Guinea hen and aspic. Aspic and aspic. dessert, lady finger.
But, Georgie, who could eat that mess? I'll get indigestion.
Not at the carnival, Fred.
Well, why not?
Those lady fingers that you get for dessert...
Yes?
They are holding an Alka-Seltzer.
But I'm a light eater, Georgie. What now? What is the $2 dinner?
$2 dinner, you get a sprig of parsley on a plain glass plate.
A glass plate?
Yeah, you're not only starved, but the waiter looks through the glass plate, sees you leaving a nickel tip, gets mad, takes away the knife and fork, hits you on the head. Nothing.
What about the drink?
Oh, the drink. Oh, with a $20 dinner, you get the finest French champagne. It has the Hildegard seal of approval.
And on the $2 dinner?
The waiter takes off your shoes, puts grapes under your feet, you step on the grapes. It tastes like an oleum. You wouldn't like it at all.
Well, Georgie, in self-defense, I think I'll take the $20 dinner.
Fred, you are doing the right thing, believe me.
I'm all set for New Year's Eve.
Ah, Fred, this will be a night that you will long remember. And don't forget, take some more balls out of that tuxedo.
Tuxedo? George, you mean it's formal?
Fred, you're going to the carnival, not Sam's Bowery Follies, you know.
But I have no tuxedo.
Fred, I should have your luck.
Well, what luck?
I can get you a tuxedo in 5 minutes.
Really?
My cousin Milford got an interest in a place. It's right around the corner. Come with me, Fred.
All right, Georgie, let's go.
Well, here we are, Fred. Sam's suit salon.
Georgie, this is a pineapple juice stand.
Yeah, but in the back is a tailor shop, you see? Open all night. Overcoats made while you wait.
Oh.
Sam. Sam,
well, let's go in. Let's go in first.
Oh, you got to go in.
Yes, I do. No curb service. You got to go inside.
All right. Hey, Sam. That's Sam over there, you see, with the pineapple in one hand and the hot iron in the other.
Oh, I see.
Sam!
Hello, Mr. Jessel. I got bad news for you. I've stopped cashing checks.
This is a friend of mine, Sam, Fred Allen, and he wants a tuxedo.
A tuxedo? You came to the right place. Oh, Max!
Yes, Sam!
It's a customer!
Orange or pineapple?
The pineapple's good today.
No, just a tuxedo, thanks.
Now, look, this is for New Year's Eve, Sam. I want you to give Mr. Allen something extra special.
Well, you, Mr. Jessel, will give him the works. Built-in gravy stains on the vest. Here's a ruler. Help him measure it.
I certainly will. Okay. Sleeve 33.
Sleeve 42.
Waist 36.
Waist 57.
Length 32.
Length 71.
Wait a minute, Georgie. What is this? Every time you yell out a number, Sam puts down a different one.
Don't worry, Fred. Sam can write. Nothing to worry.
Well, never mind the measuring. How about something ready-made?
Okay, Sam, Mr. Allen wants something ready-made.
Ready-made.
Here, Mr. Allen, it's our last tuxedo in stock.
Oh, Fred, you are in luck. Well, well, feel that material.
Georgie, this is corduroy.
Corduroy? Of course. The doorman at the El Morocco has one just like that.
A corduroy tuxedo?
It is ideal for New Year's Eve.
Ideal?
Yes. When the band stops playing, you can keep on dancing to the sound your corduroy pants are making, you see?
Here, Mr. Allen, tie it on.
All right, thanks.
Oh, boy, that suit was just made for you. Look how it hangs.
Hangs? It piles up on the floor. Look at this. Look at this right sleeve.
That's too long.
It's not only too long, it's got a cuff on it.
Well, that's a pants leg.
The sleeve is a pants leg?
Now, wait a minute, Sam. What's with the sleeve? What is it?
It's Max. Lately, his eyes are bad. Yesterday, he showed himself to a customer.
Oh. I can't go to the carnival with one arm coming out of a pants leg.
Put a shoe on your hand. Who'll notice it?
Look, Georgie. When I buy a suit, I would like to have two sleeves with it.
You got two sleeves.
Where is the other one?
Look at your left leg.
Jeepers, from the knee down, I'm bare-legged.
Look, Fred, a black puttee will cover it. Patent leather. It'll look very smart.
A
very
black
smart.
Puttee? Georgie, I'm going to the carnival, not joining one.
Now, look. Fred, for the money, you can't beat it.
Yeah, that's right. Try any reliable pushcart and mention my name.
He's right. Now, think it over. Think it over. Where else can you get a tuxedo with a mink belt in the back?
A mink belt? Say,
mink
what is
belt.
What is that big lump hanging down inside the back of the pants?
Oh, this I didn't say. Oh, this is a pineapple.
Really?
Yeah. Sam gives away a pineapple and a Hawaiian guitar with every tuxedo. And look at those lapels.
Three lapels?
One folds inside. It looks like a vest.
Fred, I'm telling you, you can't match it anywhere.
That's 5 years ahead of the new look.
Ah, now you're all set. You are all set, Fred. There's only one place for you on New Year's Eve.
I've got my reservation.
What reservations? With that suit, you're not sitting in the audience. You're going to be in the show with me.
In the show?
Yeah, get the picture, Fred. The lights grow dim. Suddenly, there is soft music. You step up on the stage beside me in that tuxedo.
Yes.
The violin section comes behind us, and we sing.
We sing together?
The first chorus. The second chorus, I'll recite, and you will hum softly.
I hum. I wonder how it will sound, humming.
Like this. When you're a long, long way from home,
it makes you feel like you're alone.
It's hard to find a pal that's true,
that you can tell your troubles to.
And when you send a letter home, your mother's voice rings in your ear.
And then you cross the T's with kisses. What a strange world this is.
Then you dot the I's with tears.
You miss the love you've always known when you're a long, long way from home.
Why did I wonder? Why did I stray? That is the question I ask every day. Milestones are smilestones when you start to roam. But wait till you're far from home. Fred, Fred, take it easy with the humming.
There's a caraway seed in my tooth.
Oh. You'll have Sophie Tucker in it. In the eyes of the world, you may seem very small. In the eyes of your mother, you're as big as them all. You go out in the world with one thought in your mind. Where can I find a pal? And you've left one behind. Look, Fred, will you stop humming? Play an instrument.
I'm singing a cappella, Georgie.
This is a cappella?